get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I am Pete.
I'm Molly.
And this is a Christmas-themed podcast where we break down a Hallmark Christmas movie. And today we will break down the Hallmark original Christmas movie, Christmas in Love.
It's a new movie for 2018. And even the name is lazy in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you're making so many of these movies, you're going to run out of ideas. But this really is just a regurgitation of a bunch of things we've seen before.
Pretty much every single Hallmark movie could be called Christmas in Love.
Yeah. Do you like wreaths? Do you like automation? This movie is for you.
I noticed this was an HP Christmas jingle production. Are they always that way?
No, I guess they have different...
What does HP mean? Hallmark
production?
Production, Christmas jingle production?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I noticed that was weird too. And we always talk about how we want to write one. And another podcast I listened to was talking about they have a friend that wrote two of them. The one with Chad Michael Murray and then the one that's coming on the Christmas and Evergreen sequel, Letters to Santa.
So they're like legitimately not like...
So real people are writing these. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, by next year, by the time the podcast comes in 2019, we will have written a script for a Hallmark Christmas movie.
We can break out, in honor of William Goldman dying today, we can break out his book about screenwriting and write our spec script for
That'll be Hallmark like Christmas. Our New Year's resolution. Well, it'll be my New Year's resolution, just like learning Spanish was my last last year's, and I have not. I started really strong.
It's been many years.
No, it was last year.
It was?
Because we were going to Mexico City for spring break.
Oh.
And I wanted to learn Spanish by March.
How's that
and
going?
I was really strong for the first couple of weeks of January, and then
doing
I kind of I was looking up. I had an app, I had a Duolingo app.
Oh yeah,
and
that's right.
And then I was practicing, and then I would stop for a few days, and then I'd have to go back, and I'd forget, and then all of a sudden we were done with Mexico City.
All right, enough procrastinating. Right. Let's talk about automation.
So, Christmas in Love. What do we know about Christmas in Love?
It stars two Hallmark veterans, Brooke Dorsey, who we know from Miss Christmas. She was Miss Christmas that we talked about in July. And Daniel Lissing, who he's been in a lot of the Christmas movies, but he's also on When Calls the Heart, which is a Hallmark series. Like, year-round, everyday series that has a big following. He's the main male lead in that. So we're not in a big city. We're in White Deer, Missouri, in a small town. It's very snowy. Like, this is when they break out the footage of snow-covered fields and small little house, like villages.
Right.
And
really hammer down the point that we're not in New York City or any other big city.
Yep.
We're in middle America.
Now, when you live in Chicago, you kind of have a chip on your shoulder about you're not New York, you're not LA. It's a big city, but it's not the biggest, nor is it like a cool city like Portland or Austin. Mm-hmm. We're somehow stuck in the middle. But all we know is that we're cooler than Missouri.
We're cooler than St. Louis, for sure.
So anytime I see Missouri, I'm like, oh.
I thought it was an interesting place for White Deer, Missouri.
Well, they reference... The 2018-ness of this is that they reference that the tire factory was closed nearby, and so a lot of those people are out of work. So that has a very
Missouri feel.
Coal miner, out of work feel to it in a state like Missouri. Mm-hmm. These are a lot of generalizations.
Yeah. Where do they make tires? Let's go Missouri.
So Ellie, that's Brooke Dorsey's character, is making a bunch of artificial wreaths. We open up on that. And these movies are not filmed in the winter, so the snow is fake. They have to ice skate indoors. Mm-hmm. And there's not, like, I guess there's not, like, real greenery to use, because everything's always, all of the greenery that's used in crafts or in decorations is always artificial. So her thing is that she makes artificial wreaths and everybody's gaga for them.
Yeah.
These wreaths are...
They're not very good.
No.
No.
They're not very good. They're not very special. And she makes a big deal about how like long it takes her to make every one. But then like later on, we see her making like 100 at night. So it's not that hard. She just buys a pre-made wreath, uses pre-made ornaments and ribbon, and ties it all together.
Yeah,
it's not very exciting. But everyone's like,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
She is known for making these wreaths.
Yeah, it would be like one will appear in a store. She'll give one to the fire station or to a store or something. And it's like a Banksy has appeared and everybody's like standing around it. Are you seeing the new wreath? So her parents, she's close with her family. Her mom is played by the mom from Seventh Heaven. Mm-hmm. And her dad is played by a guy that looks like Stephen Collins,
yeah,
which is creepy.
Yeah. He totally does.
So Ellie's mom owns like a gift shop in town, and she drops off a wreath. And her mom talks to her about how everybody, you know, as soon as you put one of these up, I guess it was just like a decoration for the store. As soon as you put one of these up, everybody wants to buy them, and she talks about how hard it is to make them. And there's also a lot of digs in this movie about Ellie feels like things should be small, handmade, brick and mortar, not mass produced. And there's lots of digs against online shopping too.
But yes, her mom really believes that Ellie should be selling these wreaths in mass quantity. That's Ellie's real passion, is to be making wreaths.
We see they're watching the Christmas festival being set up across the street. So one check for laziness here. Another Christmas festival is the main setting for
the White Deer Christmas Festival.
Yeah, everything kind of revolves around when the Christmas festival is going to happen. And her ex-boyfriend is in charge of it. He's a firefighter, and he's in charge of the Christmas festival. I guess his dad had been in charge of it, and that's why.
It seemed like his dad has passed away, and
he has taken over.
Carl, what's his name?
Carl.
Yeah.
Carl. There are some very Canadian actors in this one. Carl is very Canadian. Mm-hmm. Carl. he's a firefighter, and Ellie's best friend is a firefighter. That's the thing in this one. So Ellie works at a bakery. Her dad works there, too. He's the manager of it, and she works in human resources. And it's a bakery that makes Kringles. Had you ever heard of a Kringle before this?
What are Kringles?
Well, I was at Trader Joe's yesterday, and they have Kringles.
It's just like a big round baked piece of
pastry.
Like, yeah,
kind of. Like, I was sort of feeling like it was sort of like a cronut, because it was like lots of layers, but then the layers have stuff in between them, and then it gets iced on top,
frosting.
So it looks like a snowflake.
Yeah.
Then at Trader Joe's, it says like Danish Kringles, and they're made in Wisconsin. It had the feel of these Kringles. And I'm like, did this exist before? Did they see this movie?
Boy, people really go gaga over Kringles. We should start making
these
things.
Well, they do, because this is a huge company with like corporate headquarters in San Francisco.
The Carlingson Bakery.
Yeah, so the bakery is in White Deer, Missouri, and the corporate headquarters, where the suits are, is in San Francisco. And Ellie's dad tells her that one of the corporate suits is coming. This happens regularly, that they come to the bakery to check things out and to experience that.
Right, to learn all aspects of the business.
So now we see Nick, that's Daniel Lissing, and he's in San Francisco, and his dad, so there's a lot of dad stuff in this one. His dad is I don't know what his title is.
President,
CEO whatever.
Of Carlingson
Owner, I don't,
Bakery, yeah.
Which was started by his father. And he's getting ready to retire, and so Nick is going to take over. And the dad wants him to go to White Deer to experience it all. Nick believes in automation. Automation above all else. If they're going to grow and be number one, they need to automate. So I was sort of surprised. Like, Nick is, you know, like in his late 30s. He's never been to White Deer before. This is the first time.
Yeah.
I was sort of surprised by that. But there's from the grandfather to the dad, there's a history of what you care about is the people that work for you more than the bottom line. And Nick is, not that they're not.
They're doing fine.
They're doing fine, but Nick thinks that he can grow the business with automation. That's more important to him than people at this point. Ellie's at home, busy making wreaths, and she pulls out a book about San Francisco, like a coffee table book, a very basic coffee table book about San Francisco, and looks longingly at it. So we're like, What's the story here with this? And Nick heads to White Deer, and he's staying at the lodge that's there. And this is another thing that happens in these movies where the rooms are decorated for Christmas, which that's a lot of work that a hotel would decorate, like a Christmas tree and wreaths and decorations. And it's also an assumption that everybody would want to stay in a room with Christmas would celebrate Christmas and stay in a room with Christmas decorations too. But they always, like we saw it in Mistletoe Inn, the rooms were really decorated for Christmas. So that, you know, appears here as well.
Yeah, I guess I thought this was more of a bed and breakfast type place as opposed to a large.
It's a lodge. For some reason, they say that over and over again. The lodge. It's the lodge. And it opens, like the door opens to the outside. So it's not like it's he's just staying in somebody's home.
Yeah.
It's the next morning and he's heading to the bakery and she's pulling up to go to the coffee shop or to the diner. It's not a coffee shop in this one. It's a diner. And he's got his fancy Italian shoes on and slips and falls on the ice right by her car. At the same time he sits up, she opens her car door into him and hits him on the head.
I feel that he was also walking fast, too.
He's from the city.
Right, he's a big city guy. He was kind of walking past the other people that were walking on the main street in the town.
She doesn't put two and two together that maybe this is in this small town, that maybe this guy in the fancy Italian shoes is the exec from San Francisco. But
yeah.
She's like, well, you know, you need to get some boots. Those aren't the right shoes. And you need to, you know, he's not doing winter right.
Mm.
So then we see him a few minutes later and he's holding his shoes in a bag and he bought some boots, shamefully bought some boots. So she's meeting at the diner. She's meeting her best friend, who's a firefighter. And they're talking about, so now we find out what happened in San Francisco, that she had applied for a job at corporate and didn't get it. And that's kind of like all she's ever done in her life.
Mm-hmm.
She's never left White Deer. She applied for this one job. She didn't get it. And she's like, well, if I don't get this job, I'm never doing anything else.
Yeah.
But this, she's done. Like, she took this risk to apply for a job. And because she didn't get it, just like, all right, the end. I'm not doing anything else.
She even bought a new suit for the interview and then didn't get the job and then just, you know, shut off to the rest of the world.
Yeah. So after breakfast, she heads to the bakery. And lo and behold, who's there but Nick? Her dad introduces her to Nick.
Is that when she came in and announced that the paychecks were in?
Yeah.
She came in and was like, okay, the paychecks are in. And then we're old-timey, but we're not that old-timey.
Yeah.
That we can also say, but those of you that don't have direct deposit can pick up your paycheck.
It's a very unnecessary thing to say. Like, I think you would know that if you had direct deposit. And like, wouldn't the paychecks, why would she announce them? Like, wouldn't it be the same time every week? Probably
they would just like every other Friday or the 15th and the 30th. Yeah.
But that's her job. Like, that's all she has to do. So she kind of makes a crack about Nick's Italian suit. Like, he's going to go into the bakery and get messy. So she's like, you know, you need to find something else to wear. So she grabs a guy that works on the Kringle line and has him suit Nick up in something more appropriate. So he comes out and just sort of like a lab. They wear lab coats. Like, her dad always has a lab coat on, but he still has like his tie on. And she mansplains to him how to make Kringles. Everything is done by hand, and that, you know, we cut each round out by hand. We put the filling in by hand, layer them, and then we ice it by hand. Each one is made with care by a real person.
Yeah, and he's saying that, boy, there's a lot of effort that goes into making just one of these Kringles.
So now we hear this is the first conversation between them, other than their meeting. And this is what every conversation in this movie is. It's just a repeat of this conversation. He talks about coding and automation. She talks about handmade and craft and doing things, always doing things the same way.
Yeah.
That's this movie. Like, you watch it for 15 minutes. They have this conversation. There's a commercial break. They have this conversation. There's a commercial break. Just over and over and
automation
over
is the future. It's not all about the bottom line.
Yeah. So at this point, she doesn't like Nick.
She calls him Shifty.
That's good. So she's in like the break room or something making a wreath, and it's a wreath for the firehouse. And he sees it and he's like, whoa, this is, I know, again, easily impressed. Like, oh, this is so great. And he says, you know, you see wreaths and you never know where they come from.
Well, they're the perfect symbol for Christmas, she explains.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of wreath history we learn here. Or wreath. Yeah, I never knew wreaths meant that much.
I don't
much
remember why
symbolism.
They are, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't either.
She explains that they are.
I kind of tuned
him
out to that.
She tells them that they are.
And so the next task for Nick is that they're going to head over to the food bank. So they load up a van with Kringles that didn't make the cut, and take it over to the food bank. So I like this. I like that they don't just throw the stuff away. They take it to the food bank. The food bank's an important part of this movie. All those people that were let go from the tire factory are relying on it, perhaps. But all they eat is Kringles. It's so many Kringles. Or it'd be like if I came in, I'm like, I'm hungry, but I can't do another. I just can't eat another Kringle.
Nobody's hungry, but everybody is. The obesity is the next problem they have to deal with.
Oh, there's so many Kringles. And even the people at the food bank are like, oh, I'm so ready for Christmas to be over. You can't bring a coffee cake to us.
They were really wanting to hammer home the point that the Kringles are visually stunning. Mm-hmm. And that's, that's something that automation can't do.
We never really see the Kringles
either.
We don't really get to experience like anybody enjoying it or like what the big deal is about the, we always see them like in process, but we never really get to experience them. And the other thing is, if you're making them for your own bakery a couple of days before Christmas, you would be making some. But don't you think the Kringles were shipped like months
weeks ago?
Yeah. Don't you think that September, October, that's when they're really... I mean, I'm guessing these have a stable shelf life, because if they're getting shipped all over, it's not like they're just making them to be in that day.
Yeah.
They're shipping them all over the country. So I don't think December 22nd or whatever is when they're going to be so busy.
So, she talks about how they need to be visually perfect. Not even perfect, but they do them by hand because they need to like visually look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And he says, automation would make them look perfect, but that's not the point. But so which ones end up at the food bank?
The ones that don't make the cut.
Just visually, they don't make the cut?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they'd have so many bad ones.
So many bad ones, I know.
That's a lot.
With bad employees, that's where you got to look into
automation.
Who's making all these?
Terribly. She continues to make digs about online shopping, and the idea comes up that she could potentially have a booth at the festival, but she's afraid to take that on because we know she's scared of anything, of pushing herself, of taking any risk or anything new or different. And he's starting to like push her to take some risks. So that when they have the same conversation over and over again, that's one thing that gets added into it, pushing her to take
risks. He sees the talent and the demand. And as a numbers guy, he realizes that she could be making this into a business. She doesn't think that she could make enough wreaths to fill a booth.
Or that there'd be enough demand for it. Yeah. So the next day they're having breakfast at the diner, and they're sitting down. He's already there. She joins him and orders breakfast, and she cuts her eggs like she's cutting a steak. Like she's really like digging into it. And they talk about dads, because that's the thing. Her dad is the manager. His dad is in charge. One thing is that, okay, so they don't know that Nick is a Carlingson. At some point, he gives them a different... Shifty. Gives them a Stanwell.
Nick Stanwell.
Yeah. Yeah. At some point, he tells them that. So they don't know that he's
the
son
of the boss.
Yeah. But again, that his dad has apparently been to White Deer. They go over during Christmas for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't go again during October. They go and invade everybody's home during Christmas. And the dad's been there multiple times and spent like weeks there and stayed with
Ellie's
family.
Parents. Yeah.
I feel like they would know that his son he's been working at the bakery since he was 15 for like 20 years. Like, wouldn't they know that or have seen a picture of Nick?
Him? Yeah, on Facebook
or Instagram. I think it's weird that this is like they know the dad so well.
Yeah.
But they don't know about that his son is.
Yeah, he wasn't in disguise or he was undercover boss or anything. He just showed
up.
I think,
too, the dad being the manager would have had a conversation, an email with Nick Carlingson, too, if he's number two in charge. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, there'd be some yearly pamphlet thing that comes out that like shows pictures of who's on the board or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's,
I don't know,
an important
how corporate
person
works,
in the company.
But at some point they would have known that this guy.
Or, the dad would have been to San Francisco to meet them and, you know, corporate outings.
Ellie's dad is really important and high up in the business.
Yeah.
And they also talk about how she's not totally satisfied with her life, that she's just stuck in White Deer. She doesn't love her job. Her real dream is to make wreaths and find the beauty in things. Carl talks to her again about a booth, that he has a booth for her. And Nick is, you know, has been encouraging her. And so she takes the plunge and decides to take the booth. And she has a real attitude of like, take that, machines. I'm making all these reads by hand. Yeah. I'm going to work night and day and get ready for my booth. Nick has a conversation with his dad, just more of the same, about how he wants to automate. He wants to take them to the top. And the dad says, can you let that go for now and just experience the bakery how it is and get to know the people and see, you know, after that, see what you, if you're still so gung-ho about automation.
Ultimately, the dad knows that Nick wants to automate, wants to improve the company, but the dad knows if he sends Nick to White Deer and meets the people, that he'll eventually come around to the dad's way of thinking.
Yeah. Ellie's father invites Nick over for dinner. And does Ellie hate Nick? Is Ellie starting to fall for Nick? It's kind of on the fence right now. And the dad says, I don't take no for an answer, which is a very Stephen Collins thing to say. So Nick has dinner at their house, and he learns that family is everything to them. So they decorate cookies, and they trim the tree, and she's making wreaths and ornaments, and they find all the ornaments that she's made over the years to put on the tree.
But the tree was very ugly too.
Again, not like, it had an artificial feel too, which I'm fine with artificial tree, but this, again, when they're trying to make everything like real, handmade, I wasn't feeling it.
And no,
they're just putting it up on like December 23rd or whatever day it is.
Yeah, it's too close to put up a tree.
And Nick talks about how like his family, he comes from a family where they usually just work on Christmas. They'll get takeout, and like his parents would hire somebody to decorate the tree, so he doesn't have all these traditions. And so they're trying to give him a big dose of White Deer Christmas spirit. He talks with Ellie as they walk back to the lodge about kind of his job in corporate, and it definitely seems like a company where like the corporate culture is just like all white men too that have come. So he talks about like Ellie talks about the people that have come to visit White Deer, and it just seems like a series of like of older white corporate men.
Yeah.
He talks to her more about like, you know, Ellie, there's opportunities for you to sell your product online. So he's mansplaining Etsy to Ellie. Like, it's not that hard. Like, there's, you know, you get a Shopify website, you do Etsy, it's all there for you. It's really not that hard. It could just be like a side hustle.
Ellie, did you know there's a whole online market where people buy and sell things online?
So Nick is back at the lodge. He checks in with his mom, who's obviously like an actress that they hired for like an hour to stand in a house with like a white Christmas tree and pretend to be talking on the phone. Because we never see her interact with anyone else.
Yeah.
She's not, we don't see her at Christmas, like, and they talk about just kind of like his conflict with his father and their different ideas about things. And she's encouraging both the dad and Nick to listen to each other, that they're both being kind of stubborn about it.
And she also mentions how much she knows Ellie's parents as well. So it's surprising that, again, that they don't know Nick, because Nick's mom talks about how great Ellie's parents are.
Yeah. And Nick is back at the bakery the next day making Kringles. So he's kind of getting into it. He's literally rolling his sleeves up. He's working with next to a guy who's showing him, you know, every step of it. And he's becoming a good Kringle maker. Because in the beginning, he was a terrible, just like he would just squeeze out a big glop of frosting.
Yeah.
Now he's getting the hang of it, too. We see the food bank again, and we find out that because Ellie and her family serve dinner on Christmas Eve at the food bank every year. It's one of their favorite traditions. And we find out that there was a big anonymous donation to the food bank, and they just assumed that it was from the elder, Mr. Carling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it's going to be a big help to them.
The dad comes around to ask for donations, and Nick gives a $20 bill.
Oh,
and they're
really
impressed with...
Oh, yeah, but the $20 bill. Yeah.
They're really impressed. Ooh.
Yeah, and that's when they mentioned that there's...
The hotshot suit, yeah.
Like a five... I think it was a $5,000
donation. Yeah.
So Ellie's got to get busy making wreaths for the festival. The festival where everyone buys their Christmas decorations on Christmas Eve. So I understand that it's not, like, charming to have these movies set on November 17th. When a holiday festival might be, or December 2nd. But hasn't everybody bought their wreaths by this point, bought their gifts? So this festival takes place, like, I think, like the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, like we see 3 days. And she's selling wreaths, and people, I guess, are buying gifts. And when we see it on the 25th, on Christmas, it's packed full of people. And one thing that is never packed, on Christmas Day, the only place that's packed is the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing else is going to be packed.
Chinese restaurant.
It's
not like...
It's too late.
You don't have to start the movie in November. You can start in December, but that's when things are happening. I mean, right now in Chicago... The Chris Kindle Market's up already, and the tree's up, and things are happening. This is when it should happen, and then you don't need everything to happen in 3 days.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous.
All right, this is how redundant this movie is. These are my notes. They make wreaths. They talk about the same things over and over. He encourages her to do what she loves. She has breakfast with her friend, and the Kringles look gross. So when she has breakfast with her friend reveals to her that she likes Carl, and maybe Carl likes her, but they feel weird about this, which it is weird. This was someone that Ellie dated for a year, and this is her best friend. But if you're in White Deer in Missouri, there's not too many options.
Yeah, the friend was really complimentary towards Carl about how he's a big catch, and Carl seemed kind of a creep and a doof. Yeah, and a little old, perhaps.
Yeah, he kind of had has rockabilly hair.
Yeah, he did have but he's kind of a Barney Fife type.
Yeah.
He wasn't attracted to Carl. Hunky fireman at all.
She was the friend. I mean, the friend was another very Canadian actress too, and not someone that I've seen in one of these movies before, but the friend and Carl were maybe meant to be together, though. They kind of fit together. So they've got to make a bunch of wreaths for the festival, and Nick pitches in, the parents pitch in, everybody's working to get all these wreaths because she's got to have the inventory, and Carl's concerned that she may not have enough stock for the festival. These wreaths that are so laborious, take so long to make, she's cranking out, like 100 a night, filling her booth, and there's just such a frenzy for them. Nick has pulled together some research for Ellie to show the popularity of the billions of dollars that people spend every year on Christmas decorations, that there's a market.
Yeah, he brings out the computer and has
some spreadsheets,
some graphs of telling her that, wow, look at this. People buy things around Christmas.
A PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, PowerPoint about that Christmas is popular and people buy things. And she was like, oh, yeah, maybe so.
Well, she gives a lot of excuses, and he encourages her to make a website. He's pushing her to make a website and pushing her to take some risks. I know you might have heard of us say this before. So they head over to the festival to start setting up her booth, and they run into Santa, who's the guy from the bakery who's been showing Nick around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also Santa at the festival. And Nick almost comes clean to her when he's starting to feel guilty about, I don't know, it's not even that he's lying, but he's just not being totally honest with
them. He's withholding some key information about who he is.
And Santa gives, says this thing about, like, we, in White Deer, honesty is the most important thing to us. Like, have you been nice? Well, it's only if you've been honest this year.
Ooh, and that's when he starts thinking. Yeah.
So he almost comes clean, but chickens out and instead offers to make a website for Ellie. So Nick is then at the diner, and Carl wants to talk to him. And Carl's very skeptical of a corporate suit sweeping in having, you know, starting a relationship with Ellie, who means a lot to him, and then leaving. So it has the feel of like a soldier being stationed somewhere and having a relationship and then like abandoning that person.
And it seemed that he was upset about it because it's happened to her in the past.
Or it he's seen it, and maybe not even to her, but to other people. Like,
yeah,
the San Francisco white corporate guys take advantage of a single girl
from White Deer.
And then
head back to San Francisco without the girl.
They're 2 weeks there making Kringles, hanging out the lodge and hooking up with the local wreath maker.
Carl was being nice, and he ultimately is nice, but it's the sunken eyes, weird look. I didn't like him. I know he's just protecting Ellie, and he's the hunk of the town. So it's his job to approach the suit.
So Carl also approaches Ellie. She's working in her booth about him potentially dating Haley. Haley is her friend.
He had been wanting to talk to Ellie. He approached her a few times over the course of the movie, and Ellie was always nervous because she felt like maybe he wanted to rekindle their relationship, and she was always very uncomfortable with it. And then finally he corners her in her booth to ask if he could ask out Haley.
So she's relieved that that was the reason why. And she asked him, like, why did you give me this booth? Why did you save this booth for me? And it was because he also, just like Nick, he believes in her crafts.
Yeah.
And that
she's the only one
make her dream come true.
She's the only one that can't see.
Yeah.
This is her calling.
So Ellie heads to the lodge where Nick is working on his laptop on some automation stuff. And she's decided she's going to go for it. And so she asks him to help her with write a business plan. And she admits that she's been playing it safe and it's time to take this risk. And she kisses Nick.
Yeah. Which I felt is a little early for a Hallmark movie. Usually that's like saved till the end.
Last 5 seconds. So it's the evening of the 23rd, and Ellie's family gets together for Christmas dinner. They have it on the 23rd because on the 24th they're serving dinner at the food bank. And this is when Ellie tells her family that she's quitting the bakery, just going all in.
Yeah.
Not doing a little bit of like on the side, build it up. No, just going all in and starting her wreath or her craft. They keep calling it a craft business. And her family is happy.
They're very supportive of it. They know that that's the right thing for her to do.
And she's been selling every day. She sells out at the festival what she has. She has to close up early because she sells out. And then is supposed to be going home to make more wreaths, but seems to like dilly-dally here and there. So, yeah, I don't know how. I mean, she's not sleeping. She's staying up all night making these wreaths, I guess.
And you think the smart move would be to continue to have her steady job at the bakery and do that as, you know, the side hustle. You know,
until
like
maybe
Uber.
It got big enough that she could.
Because now she's selling to everybody in White Deer. Who else need, like, how often are you going to be selling every year? Do you get a big new wreath?
Well, you know, her plan is that she can make 4th of July wreaths. She can make Easter wreaths. She can make graduation wreaths. She can make Valentine's.
Wreaths for all occasions.
This is a microcosm for Hallmark right here.
Yeah,
like,
true.
People love Christmas movies. We made all these Christmas movies. They're popular. Oh, now let's make Valentine movies. Let's make spring movies.
Right,
let's make summer
true.
Movies. Let's make fall movies too. So they know what they're talking about.
Okay, because I was like, how good is this business plan? If she's selling all her wreaths here in White Deer at this festival, everybody seems to have a wreath. What do you do in January when now you have a bunch of wreaths that nobody's buying until next December 25th?
Well, she needs to think about it, too, that she sold most of her wreaths on the 23rd, 24th, 25th, so people are good for next year.
Right, yeah.
So it's Christmas Eve, and they're at the festival, and they're serving dinner to people in need from the food bank, and they get a surprise visit from, guess who? The senior Mr. Carlingson, Nick's dad.
And it seemed like Nick was shocked by that.
Yeah.
Because he still hasn't told anybody who he really is.
Yeah, he's getting nervous.
He's getting nervous that the truth is going to come out without him having to explain it himself.
So now not only is Nick away for Christmas, away from his family in White Deer, for some reason, why is he still there? I don't know. But now his dad is. So his mom is just home alone in that house with the white tree.
So when Mr. Carlingson is there, Ellie approaches him and thanks him for making the 5K, the $5,000 food bank donation, because everybody assumed that, you know, a donation that big had to come from the top. And Mr. Carlingson says, "What? I didn't make any $5,000 donation, but I, thanks for putting me on the spot. Thanks for making me feel bad.
I'll do it next year, every year after that.
Yeah, thanks for making me feel bad in front of your parents that I didn't give the money."
Then she has a special delivery to make. She's made a wreath for Nick. Was it? So at one point, she makes a San Francisco wreath. Was it the San Francisco wreath?
Yeah, I think it may have been. Yeah.
But it was really big. So she goes to his room at the lodge, which is just like unlocked, I guess. And his laptop is sitting open. And what is on the screen but his power, his automation report for his dad about automating the bakery. And it was written by Nick Carlingson. All is revealed.
When you came in, I can't remember how the screen looked. I don't know if there was a couple of different pages up, but on one page was the sample website that he had created.
Oh, yeah.
It said,
yeah,
Crafts by Ellie. That was
it looked like a very like 2001
yes,
website.
Yeah.
Like, where it's sort of like blue or green with like yellow.
Yeah. Like this doesn't look good. Crafts by Ellie. And then I think she went to touch that to look at that, and then the other window opened with the terrible information about the automation.
Yeah. So Nick and his dad, so she's, you know, she's mad and she storms off. Then Nick and his dad they go to the diner because Nick's dad loves the Violet's coffee at the diner.
Is that what it was? Yeah. I think it's Eddie. Was it Eddie? I think it's Eddie's diner.
Oh, Violet is the woman who runs the diner. The one non-white person in this movie. And he's like, "Keep it coming, Violet. I don't care if I like never sleep," or something like that. How good could this go? It's in like a bun container. I don't know about that. And they have a heart to heart, and we find out that Nick is coming around. He's changing his mind about automation.
Yeah.
So he did make the report, but he believes that they should keep doing things the way that they've done them.
Investing in people is more important than automation at Carlingson's. And that's when Nick's dad asks Nick if he was the one that made the $5,000 donation, and Nick was like, yes. And that's when he realized that,
right,
like the town,
he has a big dose of white deer Christmas spirit.
yes.
So Ellie rushes to her parents' house and tells them about Nick's betrayal, and they're just stunned by this. And Nick comes to knock on the door. He's looking for Ellie. He wants to explain to her, like, apologize, explain to her that he doesn't think that they should automate, and the dad scolds him for lying and not having any integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, again,
that's
honesty is the most important thing to him. So he slinks off. It's Christmas Day. The festival is bustling. Santa is there. Better get our Christmas presents. Hurry. Better decorate the house for Christmas. It's going to be over in 6 hours. Nick's trying to talk to Ellie. She's just like not having it. She's not interested.
Yeah, he approaches her at her booth again. Sometimes when we're doing a craft fair, I sometimes feel stranded in the booth. Not that you make me sit there, but I feel like if somebody comes up that I don't want to talk to, I'm kind of stuck there.
You can just hide under the table.
I've thought about it a few times. So in this case, Nick smartly thinks Ellie's at her booth. She can't go.
I can corner her there.
I can corner her at the booth and tell her, you know, the truth, you know, try to tell her what I was trying to do or what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm. But she feels so betrayed. She doesn't want to hear any of it. So he feels like the only thing he can do is stand up on the stage, the microphone, and speak out.
Hello? Attention, everyone.
The rumors are spreading that it's just going to be like the tire factory. Everyone's going to be out of work.
Did word get around that he was the son and had been lying?
I don't know, but
because they knew, because they, you know, people were shouting at him as he's up there doing his, can I have your attention, please? And the guy's like, God, don't, we don't want to be automated.
I think Santa says that.
Yeah, Santa does say that.
Well, they definitely worded spread about the automation, that it was going to be at the tire factory.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who's spreading these rumors.
Yeah, but there's a big revolt. While he was up there, the crowd was revolting against him.
Yeah. But he says he's not going to automate, that he's actually going to hire more full-time employees.
Just like the wreaths, Kringles aren't going to be just for...
Yeah, they're going. He's going to make them a year-round
Fourth
thing.
Of July, Fourth of July Kringles. St. Patrick's Day Kringles.
Yeah.
Shamrock Kringles, I think
Secretary's
he said.
Secretary's Day Kringles. National Dog Day Kringles.
Yeah, so they're going to grow.
Yeah. And they're going to grow and they're going to evolve. And that makes Ellie very happy. And so they come together in the crowd. And Nick invites her to San Francisco for New Year's.
Yeah, asks her if she's ever been to San Francisco on New Year's, and she said no.
No, I went that one time in my new suit. It's the only time I've left White Deer.
And then they kiss.
Yeah.
Then it's over.
That's it. All right, now it's time for Naughty and Nice, where we talk about the best and worst things in this movie, and... I'll do nice first. Nice is Violet's coffee. It must be amazing.
To die for. Makes me want to go to Deer Creek. Where's
White Deer?
White Deer.
You always want to go to diners.
I do. I am a diner fan. Every time I see...
And diner coffee.
Yeah, and diner coffee. Anytime I see a diner, I want to go to one. And you always say, where is there a diner around here?
Well, usually it's usually because the idea of a diner is better than the actual diner. I feel like you have a very, like, unrealistic...
view of diners.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for Naughty, I am going to go with Crafts by Ellie, the website, that the sample website that Nick made was horrible looking.
I would say don't quit your day job. So that's it for another episode of Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Molly.
I'm Pete.
We'll be back soon with a breakdown of either a new Hallmark Christmas movie or one of our favorites from years past.